When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast is now on YouTube. Go on YouTube and search Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast and click that subscribe button to never miss an episode. Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. This is episode 74, and I am one of your hosts this week, Wrestling Chris G, and my psychic brother on the other line this week, who can bend spoons with his mind, is good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie, my man, how you doing?
Can't bend them with my mind, but I can bend them.
I thought you could bend them with your mind, Doug.
One time, but I got a nosebleed, so I quit.
So today's episode, and I'm on a roll, so I'm going to try to get this out, is called The Ancient Puzzle of Pokenopolis, or translated from Japanese. Woohoo! Translated from Japanese, Clash Super Ancient Pokemon. Just because it's hard to say Pokenopolis, I'm going to go with the Japanese title this week, Doug.
you wimp.
But how are you doing this week, man?
Good. I'm good.
That's good. That's good. I got two Pokemon packs ready to go this week, Doug, and I'm going to do something different this week. I'm going to ask you at the beginning, should I open Chilling Rain pack, or should I open the Fusion Strike pack this week?
I would say Chilling Rain.
Chilling Rain, all right, because we have not had a Chilling Rain pack on this show in probably like 2 months now.
It's been a minute, yeah, for sure.
So I will go ahead and I will open that pack at the end of today's episode. But this episode is a weirder episode. For filler episodes, it's kind of out there, I would say. Wouldn't you agree, Doug?
Yeah, definitely a little bit of an out-of-the-box episode. Obviously, we're almost out of the Ash is quote-unquote training for the Pokemon League, so let's kind of throw some stuff at the wall and see what sticks. And
we're 2 weeks away now in episode wise, in the series, we're officially 2 weeks away, and Ash has yet to train any of his Pokemon. We have not seen Charizard in a month, 2 months. We have not seen Charizard.
Yeah. So the freaking dude's full of it.
So I do not feel bad for Ash at all. So, but yeah, it's about that time, Doug. Today's episode premiered in Japan, November 26, 1998, and here in the States, October 14th, 1999. So almost about a year later is when we got this episode translated and dubbed in English. So hopefully, I believe we're about to, let's see, I believe we're about to almost jump into when the dates are getting closer. Oh, no, not at all, because even in the Orange Islands, it's still 11 months in between, so.
Shoot.
So, yeah, I know. But we are about to get a break in a couple weeks after the Pokemon League, because they give you the very first episode of the Orange Islands, and then they say, okay, you gotta wait 4 weeks for the next episode, which is kind of bullshit. But I mean, that's kids WB advertising for you at its best.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, but all right, Doug. October 14th, mine comes from 1978. And when does yours happen this week?
Oh, very close. Mine's from 82.
82. Okay, okay. So I'll be going first this week. Take a shot for me, everybody. All right. 1978. And it's funny because this is gonna, it might intertwine on the next episode. I'm not quite sure yet, but you'll find out next week if it does. This was the 1978, October 14th, was the first TV movie from a TV series, Gilligan's Island, and the movie was called Rescue from Gilligan's Island. I picked this one because my father loved Gilligan's Island. I didn't really know too much. I mean, I've seen a few episodes, and I've watched it with my father, but I didn't follow the story all that much, but my dad loved him some Gilligan's Island, San Fran and Son, Planet of the Apes, the original Planet of the Apes. And like he still loves all that stuff. But I figured this one kind of hit home for me because my dad would force me to sit down and watch this if I was going to be watching my Power Ranger episodes or Pokemon or something. He's like, well, if you're going to make me watch this shit, you're going to watch my shit. So that is my date this week, Doug. What is yours?
So on October 14th, 1982, President Ronald Reagan officially proclaims a war on drugs.
A war on drugs?
A war on drugs. So you're talking... You're talking the early 80s, so cocaine's hot in these streets. I mean, I always make that joke, you know, cocaine's a hell of a drug. You know, it's a famous Chappelle line from, it's a Rick James line from Chappelle's show.
Yes.
But it literally was a hell of a drug. It was taking over people. Taking over people. It was very prevalent. Well, you do enough of it.
it takes over your whole body.
They were starting to fucking cook it and make crack. I mean, it was getting hot and heavy in these streets. So, you know, Reagan says, you know, we're going to have a war on drugs. So he puts a heavy emphasis on drug enforcement at a higher level. He increases the budgets for anti-drug programs, so that's where we get like DARE and GANG and stuff like that.
So that's where DARE came from.
Yes, sir. He bumped up the pressure on the FBI and the Drug Enforcement Agency and Department. I mean, he got everybody involved. He's like, this shit's ridiculous. We're cracking down. Pardon the pun. and I mean, you could argue that it worked. You could argue that it didn't, you know, depending on your thought. I'm not going to sit here and start no shit.
Oh, that's where you draw the line, Doug.
That's where I draw the line. That's where I draw the line. it's exactly where I draw the line.
All right.
Yeah, war on drugs.
All right. And I'm sorry, everybody, that loves our rambles at the beginnings of episodes, but we're literally doing a threefer episode back to back to back. So there's only so much talking that we can do that we're trying to catch up, and I feel like we kind of caught up last week, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the shortness, but are you ready, Doug, to get into this weird episode of Pokemon, the ancient puzzle of Pokenopolis?
Well, I mean, give them fair warning. They ain't going to get shit next week either.
No, they're not. Well, they might. I have something that I can talk about, but I'm not going to talk about it on this episode.
It's going to be a one-man show.
All right. So we start this week's episode. Unlike everything else, we have 2 weeks away from the Pokemon League, but it looks like Ash is finally training for the Pokemon League, but he's training the wrong Pokemon. Pikachu has been out this whole damn time.
Yeah, Pikachu. I said it. I said it last week or whatever the hell. Or yeah, last week, as you said the last. I've said it before. Pikachu's fine.
Pikachu does not need to be trained, but
Pikachu is absolutely. Pikachu probably steal your round by himself at this point.
Yes, for real. Pikachu can defend its own damn self. But all right. But Ash is facing Brock in an exhibition match, and it's Vulpix versus Pikachu. And Brock is like, Vulpix, go! So we finally see Vulpix, and Pikachu and Vulpix are bouncing off of each other, and they're like, boom, boom, boom. And Pikachu is getting ready to do an electric attack, and the narrator's like, the Pokemon championships is drawing closer because we're only 2 weeks away. Misty and Togepi are over there fishing, and Ash tells Pikachu to use Thunderbolt, he says Electric Attack, which is dumb. Because
what is that? What is that even? What are we doing here?
Exactly. But Brock looks over at Vulpix and he doesn't say use a Fire Attack. No, he says use Flamethrower. And Brock is like, Vulpix, Flamethrower. And Vulpix is gathering up all of the flame in its little tummy, and it's getting ready to blast it. And Pikachu is getting ready to use some type of electric attack that we don't know what it's about to do. It's up to Pikachu. And then jumps in freaking Jigglypuff in the one episode that it doesn't fucking belong in, but it just jumps in. It should have been in the damn Hollywood episode.
It absolutely should have been. I mean, that was a sneaky music episode as it was. Give Jigglypuff a song at the end of the episode. Put the narrator to sleep. It could be funny, you know.
For real. But Jigglypuff comes in and Ash is like, "Oh shit, it's Jigglypuff!" And Pikachu has enough wherewithal to deflect its attack. Brock has to tell Vulpix, deflect, and Vulpix, eyes glowing yellow, moves away and just goes, bah! And they shoot up their attack at the rocks that's right next to it. Jigglypuff is squinting, thinking it's about to get freaking fried. But then out of nowhere, there's a huge explosion. We see some it looks like, some scientists are off in the distance and they hear the big explosion and they're like, what the hell was that? And then we go back just to find out. We get the title card, which is 2 minutes into the episode. It's a minute less than what it's been in the past other episodes.
They learned their lesson.
I know. But then we come back and we see everything's cleared up and there's a big old bell and it looks like a cave that they have blasted into the rock wall that was there. Doug, you want to take it from here?
So yeah, Ash, Brock, and Misty are kind of staring, kind of dumbstruck. And I was more focused on Jigglypuff in the background because Jigglypuff realizes shit has gone and done fucked up. And Jigglypuff said, I'm just going to go over here real quick and runs off. And Brock goes up to a piece of the rubble and clears away some stones and he finds this weird looking artifact, and Brock and Misty turn into complete 10-year-olds because Misty says, it looks pretty. And Ash goes, yeah, pretty funny looking, or pretty weird, rather. You know, total, like, freaking, you know, fourth grader shit. And, you know, we don't really, you know, and they're stuck looking at what it is. And as they're looking at it, it's snatched clean out of Brock's hands. And we see the female
taking credit for finding shit that she didn't find.
She says, and she's got a French accent, but I'm not going to do it because I can't do it. She says, Professor, I found it. And or come see what I found. And she goes running off. And thankfully, the professor has enough wherewithal to have fucking gloves on.
Yeah, they're all just touching this thing. They don't know what it is.
And, you know, the professor is giving this chick all the credit. And for the first time ever, Brock's not, like, automatically dumbstruck because of a pretty woman. He says, I'll beg your pardon, but actually I found whatever that is. And he tries to explain himself. He says, see, my friend and I were having a trainer battle, and then he gets cut off, and the woman's like, well, thanks a lot. You know, I couldn't have done it without you. And she turns around and goes, this is the discovery we were hoping for. And she's taking all the credit, and the guy's shaking her hand, and the other excavators are smiling, and Ash and Misty are just in the background going, we're getting fucked, aren't we?
At least he knows when he's getting fucked.
He wishes.
Like that Cartman line. They didn't even use any lube when I got fucked.
And we pan over and we see that the head professor has already set up a camp, and Misty and Ash are floating around still trying to look for credit. They're not getting it. And
then off in the distance, we see Team Rocket, because we can't have an episode without Team Rocket back in the day. So they're inside of the tent and they're looking over all of the artifacts. Did we get the name of this girl, or has she not introduced herself properly yet? Because I've watched this is my second time, and I have not seen the name of this girl.
If we did, it completely slipped my mind early.
Okay. Well, I'm going to call her just the scientist, because I don't think I'm literally looking at the subtitles, and I do not see her.
You could call her Frenchie.
Check number two.
Not Jesse.
So they're inside of the tent and they're looking at all of these artifacts, and one of them that pops out is a Psyduck, and it looks like it has a bunch of different writings all over its body, so it looks weird. There's a weird plate, some other artifacts that look like it was found. But off in the distance, we see Pikachu is looking at the artifact that Brock and Ash had just found. And they're looking at this stuff. And then Misty gets the bright idea. She's like, I think I know what you're trying to study. I've heard about it in the past. It was something about the history of the Poconopolis. And where Misty knows about Poconopolis is beyond me, because nobody else that was inside of this tent outside of the scientist knew what the hell Poconopolis was. Doug?
Yes, but pardon me, for goodness sake. Then we find out that the female archaeologist, that's the word I couldn't think of earlier, archaeologist.
Archaeologist, that's a good one.
Find out that she's kind of a wunderkind, because she was doing all this highfalutin schooling when she was she wasn't even, you know, double digits in age, and she was writing books and
apparently she was really smart. At the age of 9, she had written her own book.
That's what it was. And the professor the only one that wears gloves around here, apparently. He's like singing her praise, and she's like, oh, she's brilliant. She's this, that, and the other thing. And she's getting embarrassed, and she's like, pardon me. She's pushing him out the tent. She's like, that's enough of my praise, professor. And, you know, she's got the, crucially, she's got this spoon in her hand.
Yes.
Which has identical markings to the whistle, that Brock found,
Yeah, it looks just like it.
And that's under a protective glass case. And we got a good line of, you know, Brock, Ash, and Misty are dumbstruck that, you know, she's gone through all this and she's this young. And Misty has a good line of, when I was 8 years old, I was still afraid of doctors. And
which was funny, because
that was really good.
Because my son hates doctors, if he knows he's about to get a shot.
And they sneak up on you these days.
Yeah, they do. They're like, oh, look to the left, poke.
That's some kind of invasion of privacy. But
I want to point out that when they have the spoon and they're moving the spoon back and forth, it starts to make the item that Brock and Ash have found start to glow. And Pikachu notices it, but it stops glowing right before Pikachu can really see exactly what's going on.
And unfortunately, as in sync as Ash and Pikachu are, Pikachu didn't really try. Because Ash looks at Pikachu and says, what's wrong? And Pikachu just kind of looks dejected, like, oh, it stopped glowing. Couldn't he have pointed at the thing and, like, done like a...
I don't think Pikachu understood that it was glowing, to be honest. Okay. I think Pikachu was like, was that glowing? I think it was glowing, but I didn't fully see it glowing. So, yeah. So... What's up?
We've got an identification on the female archaeologist.
Oh, what's her name?
Eve.
Eve. Okay, that's easy. That's real easy.
Yeah.
All right. So
Eve pulls out this tablet that looks like something that would have had the Ten Commandments written on it. And Misty's like, what kind of writing is on that thing, Eve? And Eve says, or Misty's wondering if it's about Poconopolis. And Eve's like, it says, beware the two great powers of destruction. So obviously Kane and Undertaker.
but yeah, they're basically foreshadowing what's going to happen later on. And then we shoot from that because Brock ends up running away from the tent. And Ash is like, oh, Brock just loves history. And he's kind of embarrassed. But then we shoot right outside to Team Rocket. And Team Rocket is out looking with their binoculars again. And they're looking over at the tent. And they're like, that built temples in honor of great Pokemon. So all we need to do is grab some of those items and bring them back to the boss, and we will be the best. And freaking Meowth gets stomped in the face by both Jesse and James, who end up kicking him for no damn reason. Like,
oh, Meowth has had a couple of bad episodes.
Yeah, but for real, like, Meowth has a good idea. Were they not going to go down there and try to steal some of those items? No. I mean, yeah, they were. Why are they kicking Meowth?
Because they didn't think of it.
So we go straight from that to the nighttime. What's up, Doug?
I was going to take it.
Oh, yeah. Go for it, my brother.
So we're in the RV, and it's our trio, and Pikachu and Togepi and Eve. So I think this is probably the closest Brock's been to a girl at night that wasn't Misty. and the two items, the one that Brock found and the spoon that Eve was waving earlier, are on the table under glass, and they both start glowing. I take it back. The whistle thing is glowing, and then the spoon starts to vibrate.
Yes.
And Team Rocket is hidden in bushes, and they're doing their motto in whisper tones because, you know, nighttime and all that.
They gotta be quiet, yo.
And they're literally doing the Scooby-Doo villain sneak, and
just tiptoeing.
And then Meow's like, "Hey, you idiots! Why are we doing the whole motto? Don't we gotta grab shit and run?" And then we have a minor argument. Jesse says, "Well, the biggest stuff must be in the temple." So she throws out Arbok and says, come back with the most, what does she say? Come back with the most valuable treasure you can find.
Yes. So Arbok goes and digs underneath the ground, and they're like, so what are we going to do? Are we just going to, when Arbok brings it back, are we just going to share it? And Jesse's like, what? She's like, the most ridiculous idea I've heard. And she's like, I'm not doing this for no money. You won't have to do the decent thing, is what she's screaming at him. And James is like, if the treasure's large enough, I can make myself the boss. He's like, the big enchilada.
And he says the king quesadilla, and Meow shakes his head and he goes, it's a shame they're power hungry. And the benefit of closed captioning, we can hear that there's two more, the grand guacamole and the number one nacho. and then Arbok comes through the temple, and he's got shiny in his mouth. And he says, Jesse says, wasn't there anything else? Is that all you could find? And about the time she starts talking smack,
Arbok starts to glow.
Yeah.
And once Arbok starts to glow, Arbok starts to glow like a bright red, and then it just vanishes. And they're like, where the hell did Arbok go? And Meowth is like, I think wherever it went inside that thing that it had in its mouth. And then it starts walking closer to Jesse, James, and Meowth, and you can see some footprints in the ground. And they're like, oh, shit, we should probably run. So they go and they try to run. They get like three steps in, and then they're frozen. And then
Meowth says, we're catatonic.
That was a good line. That was a very good line.
That was good. That was really good.
And from there, we can only imagine what happened to them, because we actually don't get to see Team Rocket vanish into whatever this little balls thing is. It's literally three balls. It's two balls and one smaller ball in the middle.
Sometimes you just need an extra. So we're back. We've got the next morning. It's a clean, clear day. We're back at the dig site, and everybody's looking at.
They're looking at the footprints.
Well, yeah, and then the professor picks up the three ball object, and he disappears.
Yes, and everyone is astonished at this point.
And we see a brief flash of Jesse, James, and Meow saying, hey, you know, get us out of here. And everybody starts running. And a trio plus Eve gets away. But the other archaeologists get froze and captured in the device. And as they're in the camper, all this stuff starts going topsy-turvy. And then we actually have a point of view from inside the little device. And everybody's petrified except for the lead professor. He's looking around. He's got a little monocle. And he's like, this is fascinating.
And Jesse and James, they're like, where are we? And they noted they've been inside of this thing since nighttime. It is now daytime, so they have no idea what's going on. But imagine they're all inside of the smallest ball, so it's already cramped in here. And not only is the professor in there, three of his colleagues are in there, plus Team Rocket is in there. So there is a total of six people inside of this thing right now and one Pokemon. And you know, and it looks like Jesse called Arbok back because Arbok was taking up too much space.
Which would make sense.
So but yeah, as you were saying, the scientist is looking around and he's like, this is fascinating. This is really, really nice, dark, and invasive. And freaking James is like, I'd rather be in Miami Beach, which is another U.S. pun. Something they don't do these days in Pokemon. They don't intertwine the U.S. anymore into Pokemon. So it's funny every time that they bring up like U.S. things into Pokemon. But then we go to
I was going to say, I think they've dropped that because I think they figured they don't have to dumb it down for us stupid Americans anymore because it's popular enough as it is.
Yeah, for real. So we go straight to the outside and the ball is no longer a visible thing. The ball transforms into a tall Gengar with weird writing all over it. But this Gengar is no regular Gengar. This Gengar is about it looks like about like 60 feet tall and just really, really wide, and he looks like a freaking monster. He looks like the Hulk from the Avengers, like the size of the Hulk.
Ooh, I like that. That's good.
So that's about the size of this Gengar. Doug, do you wanna take this next part of the scene?
I don't like this because Ash plays a complete, I don't know if it's ignorance or arrogance or whatever, but Misty's like, well, that doesn't look like a Gengar. And Ash is like, Misty's right, that can't be a Gengar. It's too big. I've seen Gengar before, and it didn't have those weird markings on it. It's like, who the hell is Ash to say what something is or isn't? He has to pull out his Pokemon with Pokédex. With every other Pokemon he sees, who now all of a sudden he's a goddamn expert on what is and isn't. I mean,
well, at least Dexter knows that Gengar is an actual thing this time, because last time it was like there's no info on this Pokemon.
Oh, that's right. it's gone through an update, I think.
Yeah, it has. So they know Gengar is a ghost Pokemon, but there's no more data on this Pokemon.
And Eve looks up and goes, this must be what the tablet foretold. And they look behind him and all the shit's floating. The original artifact is still glowing. And Gengar is turning the mountains all gloomy, and Professor Oak looks out from his balcony and sees everything, and Gengar's on the warpath.
Freaking Professor Oak is like, ooh, a storm's a-brewing.
Trick knee's acting up.
I better get these Pokemon inside.
Better round up all Ash's Tauros.
But yeah, we go back to the scene where everything is basically going to shit. And Ash looks right in and he's like, you know what? I'm going to try to stop this thing. And he just runs off from Eve, Misty and Brock. And Eve is like, no, it's too powerful. And Ash is like, the nearest town is my hometown, but you won't be able to stop it. He's like, maybe you're right, but I got to do something. And then
it's a total freaking action hero line. You might be right, but I've got to do something.
And he's like, let's go, Pikachu. And Pikachu's like, well, shit. I mean, he is my owner, but do I really go into this idiocy?
I could go back to not listening to him.
I could. I do have electric powers. So it's at this point that even Brock is standing back, and Brock has sweat running down his face. He's like, son of a bitch. Why does he have to? I can't let anything happen to Ash. Freaking Mrs. Ketchum will freaking chop me up. So they all start running after Ash to go and fight this big ass Gengar. And Brock is like, I got to help him before it's too late.
Another action hero line.
they were watching too many Saturday morning Spider-Man cartoons.
Hey, well, you know, it is WB. Well, no, so it would be Batman.
Yeah, it would be Batman on here, but they were watching some Fox Kids freaking Spider-Man. I mean, these lines are just too heroic-y. But we go inside of the tent, and the item that Brock and Ash have found is floating now inside of the tent, and it's glowing again. So, Doug, you want to take it from here?
Okay. So
the Who's That Pokemon Jigglypuff? Sorry.
Who's That Pokemon is Jigglypuff, yes. And they're in the tent. And, God damn it. Cooperate. So
when we come back.
It is not cooperating with me right now.
No, you're good. I'll continue, my brother. So we come back and they're outside and they find the big Onyx and Onyx. I mean, not the big Onyx. They find the big Gengar and Gengar. Still
three episodes in a row, he said. It's fine, he said.
Gengar is taking down telephone lines, taking down trees. He's destroying everything around him. And Brock's bright idea is to hurt him with his Onyx. So he's like, hurry, Onyx, we need your help. He's like, go underground and block that Gengar. So Onyx dives underneath the ground. Ash sends out his Pidgeotto. And Pidgeotto goes up to try to use its gust attack. And it looks like it's just giving Gengar a breeze because Gengar just smiles. And then he glows his eyes. And then he sucks in freaking Pidgeotto into his stomach. Best way to capture Pokemon, I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's the way. These Pokeballs, man. And
freaking Mewtwo and Gengar got it down.
And freaking so Pidgeotto drops into the dark matter and takes out Meowth, and Jesse picks it up and goes, can't you battle better than that, you broken down bird? Pidgeotto's out of it, but Jesse's just shaking the and Onyx pops up from underground and tries to wrap itself around Gengar and just gets absorbed into it.
So
like, Gengar didn't even have to summon Onyx, it just happened.
No, and freaking Onyx just gets sucked like the way that it just molded into Gengar. Like I feel bad for everyone that's inside of Gengar right now, because there's not much space, because even though Gengar is a huge Pokemon now. The three little balls are still inside of this Gengar, and that space is not getting any bigger.
No, I mean, it's just completely cramped now. I mean, Onix doesn't shrink down to fit into it. It just happens. And so they're just completely just smushed.
So we go back, and Gengar finally notices Ash, Misty, and Brock. And Brock has the bright idea. He's like, I think we better run. So they start running, and they run back to the station wagon, which Eve is in, and Eve is floating with all of her belongings floating around her, and she has yellow eyes, so she is being taken over by some spiritual thing, and they come to the conclusion that she's under a spell, and Brock tries to be the superhero and run in, but Misty and Ash grab him and like, no, she's under a spell. We can't even get over there because we'll get swallowed in too, and then what are we gonna do? And then the device that Brock and Ash had found at the beginning of the episode that was underneath the glass just shatters, and Eve has a floating spoon that matches the writing on the other device, and the spoon and this device go together, and the spoon acts like a key, and then all of a sudden a big flash of light just shoots out of the station wagon and freaking goes into the air and forms a new Pokemon, and it forms none other than Alakazam, and Eve snaps out of her spell that she was under. Doug?
And they have a good line of, that's not just Alakazam, that's Alakolossal. And you, ha ha ha. And then, Ash is able to pull out Dexter, and we find out that Alakazam is a psychic Pokemon. I feel like they've met Alakazam before. Or was it just Kadabra
No,
with Sabrina?
it was just Kadabra because she had an Abra and it evolved into
Kadabra.
Kadabra. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay, didn't get that far. So he said this Pokemon uses psychic attacks to overcome its opponents. And Ash kind of uses, quick logic and saying, well, this attacks must be this much more powerful because it's gigantic. And, obviously anybody that knows Alakazam knows that it has the two spoons in its hands, and it's using those spoons to conjure up energy, and it's putting like rock formations behind Gengar.
And
And
these rock formations look weird. And Ash even kind of points out, he's like, what the hell is that? Because it looks like they have like purple or bluish goo all over it.
then they're like, I'll tell you this much, I don't want to stick around to find out. And then we then we end up having like a big time like kaiju battle between this gigantic Gengar and this massive Alakazam. And we've got Gengar's dark energy and Alakazam's spoon energy, and it's intertwined. It's going up in the sky, and the sky's black, and Eve's having a flashback to the writing that's on the tablet.
And
And
we also get a close up of what's going on inside of Gengar. Everyone's getting shaken up because every time Gengar gets hit, everyone on the inside is impacted by it.
yes. And Eve is having like an existential crisis because, she was the one that's been digging around looking for the stuff, and if she hadn't have gone looking, none of this would have happened. And no, Eve, it's not your fault, even though it kind of might be, but we're not doing that. And then we remember that Brock or Brock, then we remember that Ash is 10 years old because his bright solution is to catch him.
Yep.
And well, Ash, these are like super gigantic ancient Pokemon. He goes, well, they're still Pokemon, and he throws two Pokeballs, and they get disintegrated.
Like, and when you say disintegrated, like, these Pokeballs literally explode in the air and they just turn to, like, just flames, just boom. Like, they look like bombs.
Yeah, they ain't coming back either.
No. And Ash has the dumbest look on his face. And they and their body gets frozen because Alakazam and Gengar look over at them and they're like, "Did you just try to capture us, you stupid SOB?" But Pikachu doesn't get in the mix of being frozen because they miss Pikachu, and Pikachu runs over into the water and goes Thundershock. And just Thundershocks the mess out of them. Everyone that's on the inside of Gengar is getting fried at this point. But it hurt him. It did its job. And Gengar and Alakazam continue to start battling each other and throwing their psychic powers wherever it goes. Alakazam is making these rocks everywhere, and Gengar is blowing up trailers. It's a big old mess. Good job.
Yeah, that trailer got absolutely wrecked.
Yep. And then from the explosion, freaking, we get Jigglypuff again, because Jigglypuff gets knocked off a cliff, tumbles down, and still wants to have a freaking performance with all the chaos. I mean, if it's gonna go down, it's gonna go down singing.
I mean, what's that Fallout Boy song? We're going down, down, sugar. We're going down swinging. That's a banger. So I gotta be honest.
What's up?
I didn't care for this.
Really?
Like, this ending completely felt like the biggest possible cop out I think you could have.
Yeah, because We come to find out that there's a third psychic to this mix, and it's none other than a big old Jigglypuff. Because actually, no, I'm getting ahead of myself. Jigglypuff starts to sing, but it's not doing anything to the Gengar and Alakazam. And I want to point out that Ash and them, they didn't fall asleep at first when Jigglypuff started singing.
Oh, they didn't.
Which I think is if it's not working on them, how the fuck is it going to work on Alakazam and Gengar? So, what's up?
I said who technically might not be alive if you get down to brass tacks.
I know, but Jigglypuff should be happy. This is the first time people didn't fall asleep during her performance. But
that's a fair point.
So, then we find out that there's a third party in this whole mix, and it's a gigantic Jigglypuff, and the Jigglypuff has writings all over it too, and its microphone is the big old bell that is on top of the cave where they found all of these items.
Yes, and it actually comes out of the. Actually comes out of the bell itself.
Yes.
And I knew it had a dumb name. Somebody called it Bigglypuff.
But before it comes out, Alakazam crashes into Jigglypuff. Jigglypuff goes flying, so no more Jigglypuff this episode.
No, Jigglypuff has gone blasting off again.
Yes. And this big old Bigglypuff is freaking it starts to sing, and it's like bah, 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 bah. Like it doesn't even sound like a Jigglypuff because its lungs are fluctuated by like 100 times its size, and it puts Gengar and Alakazam to sleep. Doug,
and it should have killed the humans probably.
You would think so, right?
I mean, all they're doing to try to, and I'm using air quotes for podcast listeners, all they do to protect themselves is cover their ears.
Yes.
They should have at least shattered their eardrums, for goodness sake.
But they fell right to the ground, and Gengar and Alakazam is passed out asleep, but everyone else fell asleep too. So Jigglypuff put everybody to sleep. And I don't get it, because Jigglypuff was so loud. Like, it was just like, brah. But Jigglypuff did do what the other Jigglypuff does. And apparently this big old bell is a big old paintbrush, which which she went and started painting all over Alakazam and Gengar. And it looks, did Jigglypuff get everybody else?
It was only focused on Gengar and
Alakazam.
Alakazam.
So, but they went away after
paintbrush. That paintbrush might have broken somebody's nose.
I think so too. With his big at least. But we wake up and everybody is now outside of Gengar, and Gengar, Alakazam, and Jigglypuff are now gone away. We have no idea where they went.
And Team Rocket's doing a little crying session because they're happy they survived. And they were split second away from, you know, throwing down with Ash. And then they were like, well, you know what? Since we all just went through all that, we're just going to call this one even, and we'll get you next time. And they run off. And
I don't blame them.
And Misty's like, well, what do you think happened to Gengar and Alakazam? And Eve says, well, they must have returned to the Shadow World. But she literally throws her hands up and says, they must have returned there, I guess. And we're kind of putting the pieces together, and we're figuring out that the giant Jigglypuff might have been like humanity's one true savior.
And that was literally the end of we really had no real ending to this episode. They literally woke up with like, where did everybody go? Ash still hasn't trained for the Pokemon League, and then they end it. It's like they're like, okay, so production in this episode is already out of the water, and we have nowhere else to go, so we're just going to end this episode.
And you know, the narrator does his best to try to sum up everything and saying, is this the end of the mystery of Pokenopolis, or is this just the beginning of everything that was discovered? And he's using all this, you know. And he says, you know, the one thing that you can't forget is we haven't solved the biggest mystery of them all. Will Ash ever get around to training?
See, even the narrator wants Ash to finally start training. He has 1 week left. One more week. And then it's Pokemon League time.
And then it's Pokemon League time, finally.
Yeah, I know. It's like it took us forever to get here. So, all right. But at this point, everybody, that was this week's episode. I'm going to give this a flat, like, 2 for filler episodes, because I didn't really care too much for it. Doug, what would you do on your
Double? Oh, I'll bump it up. I like the big kaiju battle and the possession of Eve. I'll give it a 3.
Okay. All right. So you give it a 3. I give it a 2. And it's now time for the Chilling Rain Pokemon pack, everybody. All right. My pack is open already. So I do have a white card, which means that this might be a decent pack. So,
hey, all right.
So Doug, what energy am I about to look at?
Psychic.
Fire. Damn.
Damn it.
Damn. I kind of feel like you were going to say fire, but you didn't. But I got fire energy, Cilio, a Clara training card, a Hunter, a Snorunt.
Hey.
Snorunt. Yeah, a Hunter in this episode. That's kind of good luck right there. So let's see what this last card is. I have a Bonesweet, a Kubfu, an Inke, I don't know how to pronounce it, a Diglett. My reverse holo is a Galarian Sirfetch'd. It evolved from a Galarian Farfetch'd.
Hey, all right.
And my, I have this card, but it's a lucky, lucky one. I got a Shadow Rider Calyrex V. So that is my rare card coming out of this. And I'm going to say that's a winner because a lot of people love this card. And it is kind of hard to get this card. So, and it's the star of an expansion pack from Sword and Shield. So, which I never did complete, by the way. I need to finally go and complete that Sword and Shield.
Yeah, Slacker?
Yeah, for real. I got up to the last level and didn't beat it. So, all right. That was this week's episode. Do you have anything else to add for this week, Doug?
I don't. We're just chugging along at this point.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody. And if you haven't already, go over to Patreon because I forgot to plug it on the last episode. But Patreon is free, everybody, for 1 month. For the month of January, it is completely free. Go on over there. And if you like what you are listening to and you like the episodes 1 week in advance, then stick around. It's only $5 to listen to episodes 1 week in advance starting in February going forward when we put the billing back up. So if that's about it, Doug, go ahead and say goodbye, Doug.
Goodbye, Doug.
And this is Wrestling Chris G signing out, telling all of you I will see you on the next episode. One more, everybody. Just one more filler. Just one more. Have a good night, everyone.